There are many, many places where God is gathering people together who want to give God not the blind and the sick and the lame, not the dregs of their life, not the dregs, what's left over after they've lived for themselves, but the very best. That's a pure offering. It may not be a large offering because Jesus said very few will come this way. If any group of Christians, believers, is divided into the maximum and the maximum will be a very small number. The minimum will be the large number. Because most Christians, born-again Christians, are self-centered, selfish. They always think of, I've got to take care of myself and my family, and what's left over I give to God. That's exactly the reason why your Christian life is so shallow and unsatisfying. And that's why you don't experience some of the wonderful things that the apostles experienced. That's why God cannot use you more than he does. And that's why you find very little fellowship, perhaps, even in your own locality. You know, Jesus once said that if a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, John 12:24, it'll bring forth much fruit. You take a grain of wheat, and just one grain of wheat, and sow it somewhere, is going to produce many grains of wheat. You take those grains of wheat and sow them again, it's going to produce many more. And you come back after 25 years. Can you imagine how much came out of that one grain of wheat? It started out as one, but there's now thousands. That is God's law. And he said Jesus is applying that to our own life. But if you are willing to die to your self-centered life where you always think, maximum is for me, minimum is for God, which is the life of most Christians. And die to that and say, Lord, everything is for you. You'll find fruit in your life. But on the other hand, if you take that one grain of wheat and put it in a nice glass case in your window, in your shelf, come back after 25 years, is one grain of wheat still. I often tell people, why is it you're alone? You mean to say in your entire city, there's nobody who's seeking a God-fearing, wholehearted, maximum type of life? When I was a young man, a godly brother told me, the greatest work that you can do for God in Bangalore in India is to fall into the ground and die to yourself. From that much fruit will come. If you're not willing to die to yourself, you will not see fruit. You can understand all the theory and even teach it to others, but you'll be alone. And I didn't want to be alone. I wanted to have fellowship. But consider, that may be the reason why some of you are lonely and don't have fellowship. In a pure offering, God is bringing together not great numbers of people, but a few people who are really on fire for God. Not in terms of activity. A lot of people think to be on fire for God means to go and visit the hospitals and prisons and out on the streets preaching. I did all that. But I never built fellowship of these maximum type of Christians. I've been doing that type of evangelism, but they didn't produce disciples. They didn't produce people who were all willing to fall into the ground and die. They didn't produce families where people could live in love with one another and bear with one another. So I realize that something is missing. So when you turn back to Matthew 16, I want you to see something there. Jesus said, I will build my church. We are talking about building fellowship in the body of Christ. And he said here, the powers of darkness will not overcome it. And then notice, this is the first time Jesus spoke about the church. And it also says here, the first time he spoke about the church was also the first time he spoke about his death on the cross. See verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and die on the cross. So the first time he spoke about the church was also the first time that he spoke about the cross. And it was also the first time that he taught his disciples that they have to take up their cross as well. These three went together. The first time he spoke about the church, was the first time he spoke about his own going to the cross and dying, and the first time that he told them that if you want to follow me, you have to die to yourself too. See that in verse 24. He said, if anyone wants to come after me, you got to deny yourself and take up your cross, not the cross of Jesus. We don't have to carry the cross of Jesus. He carried his cross. Your cross. If anyone wants to follow me, he must take up his cross and follow me. And that means he must die to himself. See, the cross in those days was an instrument of death. And Jesus was using that as an expression of dying to self and living for God. And then you notice here, now when you keep these three things in mind, the first time Jesus spoke about the cross, he spoke about his own death on the cross, and I speak of our dying with Christ on the cross, like Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. But when he said this, listen to this, Peter, whom he had just commended a couple of minutes earlier, saying, wow, Peter, you got revelation from heaven. You know, he said, did you say I am the Christ, the Son of the living God? Peter, verse 17, my Father in heaven revealed this to you. But see how quickly Peter became blind. He began to rebuke Jesus, saying, Oh Lord, you will not go to the cross. This will never happen to you, verse 22. Now that looks like an act of love that Peter was showing to Jesus, saying, I will not allow anybody to crucify you. But look what Jesus turned around in Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Do you see how suddenly Peter became different? See the contrast between verse 17. Blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you by my Father in heaven. And 1 minute later or 2 minutes later, get behind me, Satan. How can a person who gets revelation from heaven 2 minutes later be the mouthpiece of Satan? Can that happen? It happened here. It can happen with your life. That the Lord can pronounce you blessed because you got revelation from heaven, and 2 minutes later say, hey, you're the mouthpiece of Satan. It happens. And we need to understand why. Listen, you are the voice of Satan because any voice that tells you to avoid the way of the cross is the voice of the devil. That's what I learned from there. If you tell Jesus not to go to the cross, that's the voice of the devil. And the same devil will tell you not to go to the cross. See, the reason for all tension and strife, and the reason why we don't come together and become one, is because we avoid the way of the cross. And what does it mean to avoid the way of the cross? Jesus explains it in verse 23. You are a stumbling block to me. You know, every believer who avoids the way of the cross is a stumbling block to Jesus Christ. And the reason is, you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but your own interests. I told you, there's maximum and minimum. The man whose mind is set on his own interests will say, well, I've got to take care of myself and my family, and minimum to God. His mind is not set on God's interests. Jesus did not come to earth and say, well, what's the most comfortable life I can live on earth and still do a little bit for my Father? Such a person, his mind is set on his own interests. And I think a lot of Christians live like that. What is the best way to take care of myself and my family in every possible way and do a little bit for God to ease my conscience? Your mind is not set on God's interest, and that's the reason why we don't experience the fullness of the Christian life. And we think we are wise. We are absolutely foolish. Do you think that if you put God first in your life in every area and you give him the maximum that you can, he's going to let you down? Impossible. The law of God is, those who honor me, I will honor. If you seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, everything that you need on earth will be added to you. Whether it's physical health or financial needs, everything will be added. The best retirement benefits are for those who seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness, believe it or not. Because God has promised to take care of all their needs. And I want to say to all of you, if you really believe those words of Jesus Christ, you'll want to be a living testimony to it.